Today I'm going to be sharing about an interesting subject, the subject of life after death. Life after death. Because it's something that we are all going to have to face. We're all going to have to go through that, let's call it, tunnel of death. But of course, God has the answers and the solution so that we may have the hope of eternal life and the hope of salvation of our soul. God created us with a body, a soul, and a spirit. A person can kill the body, but no one can kill the soul or the spirit. So when your body dies, your spirit will come out of your body, just as what happened to Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. When Jesus was upon the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So the body of Jesus Christ died and was buried in the tomb, but Jesus Christ, his spirit, was very much alive. And that's what God wants for all of us, to know where we will go after we die. Where we go after we die. We've all heard of heaven and hell, but we have to realize about heaven that heaven is a holy place. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God, and heaven is full of God's light. And there's a reason why God threw the devil out of heaven and threw those evil spirits that followed the devil, and they became the demons. But God threw them out of heaven, and there was a reason why he had to do that. And then there's also a reason why not everyone can go to heaven, and why that is so important to make sure of our salvation and make sure that our hearts are right so that we may dwell in God's presence, so that we may dwell in God's light. And that's why all of us has to open up our hearts to God and make sure of our salvation. So Jesus Christ, he told a story which very powerfully illustrates what happens after we die. In Luke chapter 16, it says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered in sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores." Okay, we're introduced to two people. One is a rich man who's living a very good life, enjoying himself. The other one is a beggar. He has nothing, and he's looked upon probably as being maybe having some slightly mental problem, and looked upon as being a very foolish person, having nothing to good to offer society. Now the time comes when both of these two people die. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels came and carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Okay, what happened when these two people died? The beggar, God sent a special detachment of angels to come and carry his spirit into paradise. When the rich man died, his body was buried, but his spirit, it says that he was in hell. And your spirit is the real you. That is the you that will last. Your body is growing old and dying, but the spirit inside of you really doesn't age. The true person inside of you is not getting old. The true person inside of you can never age, and it can enter that eternal state. So we see that when he found himself in hell, he had to see up into paradise, and he saw Lazarus, the beggar who he had despised. And he saw Abraham. Abraham is known as the man of faith. And then he begins begging for mercy. begging for mercy, but now it's too late for him. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us, there is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." Okay, so after we die, when we go to the eternal state, we cannot change our place. Once we either go to heaven or to hell, we cannot change our path after we have died. It's only while we're living in this earth we can choose which path we are on, whether we are on the path to heaven or the path to hell. But once we die, the judgment is set and nothing can be changed. He answered, this is the rich man, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Now that he has died and he is in hell, he's thinking about his family that are still on the earth. And he's thinking about his five brothers that are also living the sinful life like he is. Probably he used to gather and drink alcohol and drink with his brothers and have many parties with his five brothers. But now that he was in hell, he was thinking about what is going to happen to my family when they die. And he also did not want them to come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said. "But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Okay, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. But people will not be convinced to believe in Jesus Christ if they have rejected the word of God, the word that God has already sent to us to prepare the way. In one sense, God gave the law to prepare the way for the gospel. The law was God's commandments. And really, the commandments of God don't save us. They only condemn us as sinners. But the law prepared the way for the coming of the good news of salvation. The good news is that Jesus Christ carried our sins to the cross so that he would take our punishment upon himself and he would die in our place so that we could be saved. Now, when Jesus Christ was upon the cross, there's a very horrific cry that came from Jesus Christ. He said a number of different things while he was dying upon the cross. First of all, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." He was praying for the forgiveness of those who had crucified him, that in their spiritual blindness, they had crucified the Lord of glory, the King of heaven. But he was praying that God would even grant them the opportunity to be saved and forgiven of even the sin of crucifying Jesus. There is a sense in which all sin crucifies Jesus. There's a sense in which Jesus Christ hung upon the cross because of our sin. Yet Jesus prays for us also. "Look, forgive them, Lord. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing." So even when you were in sin, Jesus Christ still prayed that prayer for you. But the horrific cry that I'm thinking about that came from Jesus Christ was when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I've often thought about those words. It's a very amazing prayer. You know, God is an eternal Trinity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God is eternal. And God has always been united. Yet when Jesus Christ was upon the cross, he had to cry out to his Father, saying, "Why have you forsaken me?" And there is a reason why God the Father forsook his own Son upon the cross. And it's because Jesus Christ took upon himself all the sins of the world. He took upon himself the curse of darkness, the curse of evil. You know, evil is actually extremely horrible. When you actually get to see how bad evil is, that it's actually foul, it's terrible. Evil is so bad. And all that evil was placed upon Jesus Christ so that he could take the punishment, so that he could carry our sins. So that's why God the Father had to turn his head away from his own Son. And that's why Jesus Christ was, in one sense, abandoned upon the cross. But he had to be abandoned in order to take our sin, in order to take our punishment. So that's why Jesus cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" What did that really feel like for Jesus? We would find it hard to understand the depths of being forsaken by God. But Jesus Christ, having walked in God's full light and glory, that forsaking by his Father must have been very horrific. And that's why it caused him to cry out in such agony, in such pain upon the cross. Now, really, the greatest pain of Jesus Christ was not the nails through his hands or the beating of his back or the crown of thorns upon his head. That was just his physical suffering. But the greatest pain was really being separated from God the Father because of the sins of the world being placed upon him and him being the curse for us. But I realized that those who reject the sacrifice for their sins, those who reject Jesus Christ, those who have no salvation, those who are taking the punishment upon themselves, they will be forsaken by God forever. Jesus took that punishment of being momentarily forsaken by God so that he can save us. But if people don't want God, and if people reject God, if they turn away from God, if they don't put their faith in him, if they don't walk in God's light, if they reject the holy, righteous blood of Jesus, then they will be forsaken by God forever and ever. How horrific is the punishment of being forsaken by God and being lost in your sins? And that's why salvation is so important, and why giving your life to Jesus Christ, asking God to save you and surrendering your heart to him and being a true child of God is so important. That's why the message of heaven and hell is so powerful. It's such a warning to save our souls, to make sure that we are ready to enter the kingdom of God, to be with Christ, to know that the moment we die, that we are God's child and that we are accepted by Jesus Christ. There was a man called Stephen, and as he was being stoned to death, his spiritual eyes were opened so that he could look up and see into heaven. And he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus Christ was standing. He was not sitting. Jesus Christ was ready to receive him. And he even prayed to Jesus. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he died. Of course, his body died, but his spirit didn't die. His spirit came, taken out of his body, and would have gone to heaven. You know, even when Jesus Christ was on the earth and he manifested his glory, Moses and Elijah, they stood beside Jesus Christ. You know, all true believers, even though we die, yet we live forever and ever. And God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, "I am the God of the living, not the dead." That's why every true believer with faith in God has the gift of eternal life. And even though their body dies, yet they live forever. And they enter the kingdom. They enter into paradise. So my hope is, of course, that nobody goes to hell, but everyone goes to heaven. Everyone walks close to God and is the true friend of God and is certain of their salvation and is at peace with God. the family that I stay with in Fiji, and I've stayed with them, it's got to be about four times now. My last four trips, I think, to Fiji, I've stayed with this family. And in between the last trip, the wife of one of the brothers there, she passed away. And it's, in some ways, it's a bit of a sad story how she died, but in another way, it's a story of rejoicing. Because as she had very severe asthma and she could not breathe properly. But as she was gasping for her breath, what were her last words? Her last words were, "Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus." See, the Bible says everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that there is no other name under heaven by which we could be saved. It is only the name of Jesus Christ that grants us access into heaven. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." There is no other way into heaven. So my desire is to see not half-hearted Christians just living their own life, but fully devoted to Christ, with pure devotion, with an attitude of worship towards God. Because when you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive him into your heart. And he then lives with you, he lives in you by the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So really, God isn't so much interested about buildings, even though we do need buildings. But that's not the true church. The true church is when you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ is in your heart. Then you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means God's presence is with you. So you have to know God's presence with you. You have to know God watching you all the time, God leading you and guiding you. And Jesus gave the illustration of a good shepherd looking after his sheep. And Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." They do not follow a stranger. No, they follow the good shepherd. That's why we would not follow a false prophet that tries to lead us away from Jesus. No, Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. We know him as our Lord and Savior, and as his sheep, we know his voice. We know him speaking to our hearts. We know him convicting us of sin if we begin to go on to the wrong path, so that we do not go onto that wrong path, but we come back onto the path of life and onto the path of salvation. So my challenge for you is, are you following the voice of the Good Shepherd? Are you following the voice of Jesus Christ? Are you listening for his voice? Do you pray and seek God? That, "God, today is a wonderful day that you've given me. Today I am following you, Lord Jesus." And every day is like that. Because Jesus said that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him daily. So every day I'm walking with God by faith. I'm walking with Jesus. The eyes of my heart are focused on God. And the Bible says that we should keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So as we keep up the eyes of our heart upon Jesus Christ, we should be getting closer and closer to God every day. You know, my hope is not just that people make it to heaven, but actually that they have the good reward in heaven. Because Jesus said, "Do not store your treasures on earth, but store your treasures in heaven." So Jesus Christ wants you to have a good reward with God, so that when we all come before God on the day of judgment, we have to come before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus will say to us either, "Depart from me, I never knew you," Or he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And Jesus said, if we deny him before people, he denies us before God. But if we acknowledge Jesus before people, he will acknowledge us before the Father and before the angels. Imagine Jesus Christ bringing you before God the Father, bringing you before all the angels, and say, "This is my daughter, this is my son, this is my child. You have got the gift of eternal life." So salvation is so great and it's so incredible. So you have to be filled with the joy of the Lord. You have to know the peace of God. You have to know that your sins are forgiven. So if you're under conviction, then you have to pray with God. "Yes, I sinned, I did that." Lord, you have to pray to God until you know that you've received forgiveness, until you know that your heart is right with God, that there's no blockages. There's no areas of darkness between you and God. There is no areas of compromise that is making you a weak believer. No, Jesus Christ wants strong believers that are filled with faith, that are walking with God. Wants you to be man, wants you to be woman of God. And he wants you to be blessed so that your children can be blessed. So believe God's special presence to be with you for your child. You know, so many of the babies that grew up to be great servants of God, they had godly parents that had faith for them, had faith for their children. Joshua said, "Me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So he said, "Me, my wife, my children, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't matter what other people do, we are taking a strong stand. Our family is a family for God. Our family is a family for righteousness, for truth, for the light of heaven, for the glory of God." Jesus said that the path of life is a straight and narrow path, but the path to destruction, the path to hell, is very wide, and still many people are on it. It's because of compromise. It's because of sin that they drift away from God. So make sure you never drift away from God. Make sure you're on fire for God. Make sure you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know, I want to be the person who is filled with love for Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 42, "If God is your Father, you will love me." That's a sign of a true Christian. If you are a true Christian, you will be filled with love for Jesus Christ. When Peter backslid and sinned by denying Christ, when Jesus came to him, he said to him, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes." But Jesus asked him a second time, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" Peter again said, "Yes." But the third time Jesus asked him, his heart was broken. He was thinking, "Jesus, why are you asking me three times? Didn't you believe me?" Well, he denied Christ three times. So Jesus had to restore him by asking him, "Do you truly love me?" And that's the question. Do we truly love God? Oh, we can say with our lips, "Yes, I love God, I belong to God." But do you have the true love for Jesus Christ to be his servant, to stand up for him when people speak and go a different path, or if they compromise with a certain sin? Are you able to say, "No, that's not light of God, that's darkness. Come out of that darkness"? Because if you follow Jesus, he will be the light of life for you so that you cannot walk in darkness. You won't feel comfortable in the darkness. You want to flee from the darkness because you love Jesus. So if you love Jesus, you won't want to be lost in the sins of the world. You'll want your place in heaven. You'll want to be a child of heaven. You know, I'm a citizen of New Zealand, but really I don't care about New Zealand. I only want to be a citizen of heaven. I want to have my place in heaven. So that's my encouragement to you. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Love him with all your heart. Serve him. If you have any family members not walking in the light, pray for them. Pray and intercede. God, save them. The reality of heaven and hell is very serious. So that's why we have to be a praying people. Lord God, we need revival in Fiji. We need God's power to come again. Sweep away all the sin and compromise. Lord God, come in your power and move in Fiji once again. Mighty things God has done in Fiji throughout the last couple of hundred years. But once again, we need breakthrough for God's kingdom because the devil's not sleeping. The devil's also stirring up people against God and compromises here and there. Maybe little compromises, but they're sins. So that's why we need to say, Lord God, we want to follow you wholeheartedly, not with compromise. And when we stand before you, God will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray.